I think absolutely a brand, whether it's a digital native brand like Revolve, or, you know, if you have a brick and mortar, et cetera, I think more than ever, it's not a, you know, nice to have, it's a must have. You need to be able to connect with your consumer in a really authentic and in a really deep way. And you need to continue to evolve over time. And I think if you don't, you're almost dead in the water. There's so many different brands out there that are doing that work. And, you know, that's why it's also important to really make sure that if you are a brand founder, like, what's your story? What are you trying to tell people?
Welcome to the Live Beautifully podcast. I'm Katrina Scott. I'm a mom, a passionate female founder, and a creative brand builder. In the last 15 years, I've been everything from a personal trainer to a Forbes featured entrepreneur, a New York Times bestselling author, and the co-founder of the leading fitness empire, Tone It Up. And with that comes CEO, late night copywriter, creative director, social media expert, and of course, the most important job to inspire creativity, an office intern running out for coffee and donuts for the dream team. I'm humbled and so grateful for my journey so far, and I can't wait to write new chapters with all of you. Creativity, success, and making your dreams come to life takes passion, commitment, and a deep, deep love. And love is fostered and grown through deep connections and purpose. And we're going to do just that together. From personal life stories to thoughtful conversations with the most inspiring guests and Ask Me Anything episodes, my hope is this show will ignite your creative brilliance so you can flourish and live beautifully. Hi, thank you so much for joining today and tuning in and sharing with your friends. I want to start this episode with, how are you? You know, I've been thinking a lot about this question lately. And when you're walking down the street and you see a neighbor, you say, how are you? You go to the grocery store and that person that's checking out your groceries, you say, how are you? Friends, family. And we all answer, good, how are you? And I want to take this moment and truly, truly check in with each other and say, how are you really? So I want you to text me right now, before we even get into this episode, and let me know, what was your greatest challenge this week? And then what was something beautiful that happened this week? Because those things can happen at the same time, you know? And I'm going to be reading all of your responses and it'll inspire me for future episodes. So text me, how are you really, at 213-205-3604. 213-205-3604. Goes to my cell. I'll save your number. You save mine. And I'm going to be using this a lot with the podcast and hearing from you. For me, lately, I feel like every week, I feel like I could probably say this every week, so I got to work on this, but it's just been challenging. I feel a little helpless. I think all of us, you know, that aren't maybe essential workers, we feel like we should be doing more. But then I also feel busier than ever. I feel really overwhelmed with my to-dos, deadlines. I give myself deadlines to work and all the things that I want to build and create, but it feels like I have less and less time. So making sure that I'm more efficient with my time, and then I'm present at home, and then I'm slowing down in the evenings. Before we had Bella, I feel like in the evening, I would ramp up and work. And now I'm trying to be better about not doing that in the evenings. And Brian and I lately have just, you know, I think the first year actually of being parents, we were really good. And then now we're back to opening up our laptops as soon as she goes down for bed. So I think I'm going to be working on some advice that would probably be for myself too, about better balance at home. And, you know, balance, there's, I don't even know if there's such thing as balance, but as parents, just more harmony and things that come and go, and make sure that we carve out time to be with one another, and then making sure that I'm really efficient. I think that that is probably the strangest thing for both me and Brian, to stop working in the evenings, because for so long, that's all we did. And then when we became parents, we were like, okay, we're going to start trying to work normal working days and then be a family at night. And so that's the most challenging thing for us, especially now that there really isn't a difference between going to the office and coming home. We're just literally here and we haven't really taken that time to breathe. And that got me thinking too, when you're building a successful brand, you are breathing the brand. You're living and breathing the brand. And I look back on building Tone It Up, and I know those pivotal times when ideas were created, when the magic happened. And I realize how much really went into it. when you're in it, you kind of just are grinding and you don't really realize it. And then looking back, I'm like, wow, I know when those things happened and I know how important those times were. So before we became parents, we would work a full workday with our office and manage everything that we could within those 8 to 10 hours. And then at night, either after dinner or even during dinner, we'd reopen our laptops for another at least 6 hours and then go to bed between midnight and 2 a.m. That was like my bedtime. And it was normal. This was our routine. We loved it because we were building something and we knew that was the only way. We were twice as productive at night and it allowed us to work double our hours than if we just worked during the day. We were super grateful and we still are. We, you know, we had this attitude of gratitude and gratitude makes you work harder. I feel like when people ask, you know, where do you get your energy and where do you get your dedication and how do you pull this off? And I feel like every time I pulled an all-nighter, I do that with gratitude. Anytime I show up with all of myself, with everything that's going on, I do that with gratitude. I'm so grateful for what we're building and what we've built. And that is my biggest driver. And I never looked at it as I have to work at night. I looked at it as I get to work at night. And that was how we built something amazing. And I did this for an entire decade. I know for a fact that my most productive hours of building, creating, and making magic actually happened between 6 p.m. and 2 a.m. because they're the most uninterrupted hours and I could focus 100% of my energy on branding. I could write, create, learn. And while I felt the world was sleeping, I knew that I was building. I was brand building. I found so much focus with the moonlight shining through our windows. I have these vivid, vivid memories of this one apartment that we lived in on a street called Bayview. And it kind of sat up high where there are no trees or no buildings around us. And as soon as the sun set, the whole room would light up with the moon. And I actually, side note, you know that you're building a brand when you're working on your computer and you realize hours later that you're working in the dark. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but you know, you look around, you have this moment like, oh my gosh, when did the sun set? And it's completely dark now. That happens all the time and it used to happen all the time. So a lot of times when I'm talking with everyone that wants to build a brand and maybe they have a full-time job during the day, I say, you know, you can still pull another 40 hours a week if you can at night. And so where we didn't stop on the weekends either. If you work in the evenings and a few hours on the week, each weekend day, you can work another 40 hours a week. And so if you want to build a brand and build your dream while also, you know, having another job, it is possible, but there is sacrifice that comes along with that. And when I look at some of the greatest brands, I know that there must be so much sacrifice behind the scenes. Building a brand is so tough, but it's so rewarding. It does take 100% of your focus. And I look at all the sacrifice that we made, including starting a family for a while, date nights that we could have taken, trips we could have taken, even Netflix and chilling that we could have done. And instead of building other things, we were truly just building a company. And building a successful brand isn't a side hustle either. It's not like, oh, and I also do this. It's your everything. You think about it all the time. And I think that that's what scared me the most about becoming a parent is I felt like my company was my firstborn. And a lot of times when I talk to moms that have their first baby, they share, they're like, oh, you know, I want another baby, but am I going to love it as much as the first? Or is it going to feel the same? Or will I feel like I don't have that one-on-one time with my first baby? And it's literally the same. And even though we haven't grown our family yet, I'm like, no, I totally relate because before we were pregnant, I'm like, how am I going to do this? I'm always 100% on something. So how could I be 100% parent, but also be 100% building a brand still? And it is possible. And on this podcast, we're going to be talking a lot about that, where you can be 100% on multiple things and create that harmony in your life and have better balance with everything. We'll talk so much more about branding, how to become more efficient, and what I wish we did differently, and how to become more productive in future episodes, and how to do it with a family too. When I think of women who have sacrificed so much to building one of the most successful brands of our time, I think of Raisa Girona of Revolve. She revolutionized fashion branding, pioneered influencer marketing, and literally grew a fashion brand into a $1 billion empire. And when I saw her become pregnant and start a family while running the show over at Revolve, I thought to myself, oh, I can do this too. And so today I am so honored to be interviewing my dear friend, someone who I've looked up to for years, someone who I've called during my most confused and scariest moments as someone running a company, and an incredible mother, Raisa Girona, Chief Brand Officer at Revolve. Here we go.
I'm going to go right into it with you because
Sure.
you know when you meet someone and you're like, I need to share them with all my friends. Like my friends need to know them and my family needs to know them. I feel like the world needs to know you. And if they don't know you, I'm like, oh my gosh, wait until you hear from her. So I know that
Thank you.
If anyone hasn't heard your story,
Sure.
and I know that you're like, wait, how much time do you need? But say we have a little time. Your American dream story is what I think is the most inspiring thing about you. And so
before
we kick off everything about branding and brand DNA and voice and all that, I would love to hear just what is your American dream story for anyone that has not heard that before?
Sure. I was born in the Philippines. I have two sisters and my parents moved to America in 1987. And then my sisters and I followed in 1989. So I was 7 years old. And, you know, obviously at the time it wasn't my dream to move to America. Like you just kind of obviously go with the flow as a kid. But, you know, I think that's definitely coming from, you know, a very poor country like the Philippines with very little to no opportunities and resources. Growing up here, I was just absolutely floored by the amount of access to everything, whether it was just like food or obviously just the opportunity to do, you know, what you wanted to do. And I think that that's always been with me from a really young age. Obviously, my parents always shared with us, you know, their hardships and, oh, like, look at your cousins in the Philippines and look at you here. And that comparison also really widened my view of how fortunate I am to have a family with my parents to make that leap and that jump to come to a completely new country. I mean, I always say, like, I can't imagine moving and starting a whole, like, my mom, like, never had a job in the Philippines. So this is like her first time ever having a job. So like just these little things, not knowing the language, like I couldn't imagine myself now having a kid and a family doing that. And so that made a huge impression on me from a really like young age. And I think that's really served as a huge motivator to, for lack of better words, like go for it. Because again, it's just like, I almost got this. People ask me sometimes like, what's the one thing that has made a difference in your life? And I think, you know, for me, it's like moving to America. Like I know that sounds like such a, not a thing because obviously I'm talking to somebody that may have been born here and stuff, but that has been a huge differentiator in my life. If my parents never, you know, took that leap, I would have never had all these opportunities and really make my dreams come true.
The story about when you first came here and you saw money coming out of an ATM and you're like, this is the American dream.
I literally was like, where is this money coming from? Like, this is what they mean. Like, I just, again, like all this whole, the entire life here, everything was so different. And it just made such a huge impression on me at such a young age. And I think being so young and having seen that was just like life-changing. I mean, like literally changed my life and my views on what opportunities are and how lucky I am. And I think I take that feeling of being grateful all the time, everywhere I go, because I'm so lucky.
I feel like some of the greatest success stories from the hardest working entrepreneurs are the ones that have seen so much and have seen their parents struggle to give them the life that they couldn't have. And because your dad came here before the whole family, and just seeing that sacrifice from people that you love and look up to is something that obviously that impacted you in such a way that you're such an incredible mother. And the way that you take care of the Revolve team is like family. And
yes, I feel like I carry that with me. And I always feel like, especially when, you know, when having a team, it's like, I mean, you know, you work with them so much, so closely, they spend so much time with you. A lot of the people on my team are young, also younger than me, for sure. I'm like the oldest person on the team. And it's like, I just want them to know, like, it is actually possible to have a place of work where you feel like comfortable and like that you're thriving and that there's a, you know, a future for you and that you can be treated nicely. You know what I mean? I think that that's something that sometimes escapes the fashion world.
We're totally the mama bears of our companies.
I figured. I mean, hello. Yeah.
We're like this with all of our children and...
Yes.
And I do think like if anyone messes with either your team or my team, we're like, you know, we just go into mama bear. That's what we are.
But, and you like want to be there for them. And you almost are like, a mom slash therapist.
Yeah. Well, there's that. So I have this picture pulled up.
Oh my God.
To just show you.
Also, I love that you have so much information and like, I'm actually so impressed. This is like the first podcast where you literally went in and found all this information. It's amazing.
Oh my goodness. Well, I feel like I love people. And so I retain, like when I see one tidbit or an interview that you've done like that, I resonate with things and I always remember.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick beauty break. Right now, I'm sitting on the floor of my closet recording this, and I just lathered on the Rose Gold Rescue Cream from Bliss. We're all busy, right? So we have to find self-care whenever we can. And right now, it happens to be in the middle of recording and hiding away in my closet while Bella naps. If you haven't checked out Bliss, they're incredible. They're not only affordable compared to everything at high-priced beauty stores, they're also cruelty-free and planet-friendly. I pick up all my Bliss products at Target. I'm obsessed with this Rose Gold Rescue Moisture Cream. It has rose flower, which is known for its soothing benefits, and it has colloidal gold, which is known to reinforce your skin's natural protective layer, brightening and acting as a shield against free radicals. And also has jojoba oil, which is rich in vitamins and minerals, and it easily absorbs into your skin for long-lasting moisture. Another Bliss product that I love is the Bright Idea Vitamin C Serum, which is packed with vitamin C, plus it's vegan. It leaves your skin glowing, dewy, and brightened. And whenever I take time for my skin, I feel and see the difference. Plus, it's an antioxidant, which protects your skin from damaging free radicals caused by UV exposure. So we need it year round. Also, my friends at Bliss love you all. So they shared a special code for Live Beautifully listeners. When you go to blissworld.com, you get 15% savings with your code Katrina15. I will see you there.
So I have this picture, speaking of mama bear.
Oh my God. I'm going to cry.
Oh,
I mean, I just, you know how we feel about being moms, and like, I, what do you call this? Like just 2 days ago going over these really old photos and showing Dylan, and she was just like, play that again. Like she, I know this is like kind of weird, but she was like trying to like reach for my boob. And I was like, Dylan, you know, this is where you used to like drink milk. And she was like, show me. And I literally showed her a video and she was just fascinated. Like, yeah. And then I'm like, wait, this is also super weird that she's understanding these things. And you know, we have so much content, but you know how it is.
That's the craziest thing is, so it's actually Bella's birthday today.
Why are you doing this? Why are you working?
We're celebrating. She's napping actually. And she naps for 2 hours and, but we're doing her party this weekend.
She's turning two, right?
Yeah. So Dylan and Bella are 8 months apart. Okay. And I actually saw you pregnant and was like, I can do this too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because that's like, that made my heart like skip a beat. Wow. That's like the nicest thing I've ever heard. Really?
Because I think for so long I sacrificed not having children with Brian because we're both in Tone It Up. And so there was no way. I'm like, I'm either 100% something or I'm not. And so I was like, how can I be 100% mom when I have this other like firstborn Tone It Up? And so I never thought that it was the right time. And so what I realized is I was, of course, the mama bear in my company. I guess I didn't have any mentors or people that were around me that were doing both. And so I was only surrounded by what I knew. And I mean, thank goodness for like Instagram and everything, but I saw a woman like you where I said, oh wait, she's crushing it. She's the chief brand officer of this massive brand and she's doing it. And she had a baby. And I remember seeing, you on a trip with her. And it was an influencer trip and it was like, it was no big deal. I'm like, that, okay, I can do this. I can go do workout videos and she can be on set and she's been on set. So I think sometimes you never know who you're inspiring when you share everything. And like you said, there's so much content that we can refer back to. And I was going to say earlier that we were looking through videos last night and Brian was like, where do all these live? I'm like, they live on Instagram. Like my family albums that we'll show Bella one day are, we have actually a private Instagram just for her and family. And then some pictures, of course, on my Instagram, like, wow. And so I think by you sharing inspired me, and I'm sure so many other entrepreneurs and women that were like, okay, she's a badass. If she can do it, I can do it. So do you feel like you're more efficient with your time now as a mom?
1,000%. I think everything kind of falls into place in terms of priorities. Yeah. And I know a lot of, I feel like I've heard you say that before. I know I heard a lot of the moms say it on our mom panel, but it's absolutely true. I mean, you bring life to this world and you obviously want to make sure that you give it as much love and nourishment as possible. And you have to make time, and I want to make so much time. And so, you know, you kind of start to figure out like what's really important. Like even with work, like I learned how to say no to certain things, which is as a Cancer and someone who's just such a people pleaser, I like can't say no to anything. Like I always feel bad and guilty if I like say no, but now I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm sorry. Like I don't have time for that. Like, I'm not going to go, or like, I'm not going to go on this trip, or you know what I mean? Like before it was like going every single trip, and now it's like, well, now we can't travel. But you know, prior it was like, I physically couldn't. And even now when I look back and I've been home, you know, since March 15th, the start of the lockdown, like I trip out because I can't believe how much I traveled even after I had Dylan. Like it baffles me because Dylan will change in like 3 days.
That was one of the hardest things, not hardest things, but kind of whoa moments after March 15th, seeing notifications pop up in our calendars and being like, oh wow, I'd be in New York right now and I would have missed what she did today. Oh wow, I'd be on this press tour right now and I would have just missed this. Okay, so I want to get into your boss position, which if anyone wants to know any more stories, I feel like there's so many amazing things. Just make sure you follow her on Instagram.
Oh my God.
So much.
Thank you.
I definitely want to get into like chief brand officer is the coolest title. I mean, I've called you about this title. I've been like, okay, tell me about this. Like, what do you do? And right. I love that you actually have walked me through a day in your life before when I went to you for advice. And so I'd love for you to walk through like, what does chief brand officer mean, especially at a massive empire like Revolve?
Sure. So, one, this title really never existed within Revolve. And when I, you know, was kind of, or not kind of, when I was running brand marketing and really helping to build the Revolve, you know, persona, and I was given the opportunity to have a C title, it was kind of like, what should we, you know, which direction to go? Because this was like 7 years ago and that title wasn't really that available or whatever, but we all decided like, okay, chief brand officer feels like the most accurate. But I guess to summarize it is just, you know, I'm really responsible for the overall feeling of the brand and making sure that we reach a ton of people. And we do that through multiple channels, obviously social media. So anything that you see out there that has Revolve on it, we've probably, if not all of it, we've touched in some form. Also influencers, we work with a ton of influencers. And so we really built that team from the ground up. So, you know, all their contracts and gifting and all that stuff. And then events, which we're really known for, and trips. So we have an events and trips activations team that does everything in-house. And that's the other thing I should say, that everything that we do is done in-house, because I think it's essential to build a brand and have people thinking about it full-time. I think there's nothing wrong with agencies. I think there's some incredible agencies out there, but I do think when you are with an agency, they're thinking about you maybe a quarter of the time because they have 4 or 5 other brands, which again is totally fine if you have a great connection with them. But for me, it was essential. And I said this to our co-CEOs that I want to build a team from the ground up because I want them to live and breathe this brand in order for us to, you know, get to where we want it to be. And so events and activations, and then we also have, of course, press. So think anything like traditional magazines, online, digital, etc. We also have a sponsorships and partnerships team. So this team is, again, something that's not common at all at retailers or a lot of businesses for that matter. They do a lot of business development, and they, for instance, will, you know, they'll go out to like alcohol sponsor or like tourism board, for instance. We've worked with the Jamaican Tourism Board before, and they actually will help, you know, offset some of our cost because we know that the power of the Revolve brand. So that's been really interesting. And when we have really big events like Revolve Festival that happens during Coachella, if a brand wants
better than Coachella.
Oh my gosh, I hope we have one soon. But yeah, so we'll work with really amazing brands and make sure that they have a footprint on the in the events and help market their brand to our customers as well as our network of influencers. So it's pretty like robust, and it's really like so to me like fascinating because there's so many different types of kind of customer touch points. And I always want to make sure that when somebody comes across Revolve, they feel like inspired. And that's really, you know, a word that we always use is like we want our customers and our fans to feel inspired, for the brand to feel really aspirational. And just some a brand that's like really wants to have fun. I think, you know, things are obviously moving and this year has been so crazy, but those are kind of some of the brand words that I like to think about when planning anything. And that's kind of like the same lens that I like the team to have when thinking about influencers to work with and the, you know, how the event is going to feel and look like, et cetera. So yeah, that was a very long answer.
I love it because I cannot even imagine the heart and the hustle that has gone into these events. I went to the first Revolve Festival. I'll actually post pictures if we do a whole video of this. The first Revolve Festival, and then went to, what was that, last year. And seeing the side-by-side, even the evolution of how amazing it was. So I brought a couple girlfriends, and you got us in, of course. And we walk in, and it was an aspirational, inspiring adult playground. And we went to Coachella and we wanted to go back to Revolve Festival instead.
Oh, yay. That makes me so happy.
It was intimate. And I think all of your events have been, feel intimate, whether you're, you know, at a small event of like 15 people, or if it's a larger event with thousands. And the way that you and your team does that, it's so brilliant. And you pioneered the entire influencer trip space. No one saw that before you. And then to have an e-commerce business that was having real events, whether big or small, wasn't done before. Even if you had, you know, say call it 10 influencers, I feel like it gave women at home that were part of your community a sense of family, even if they can, and some in realness and something that they could touch and it was tangible, like this brand is real because I see what they're doing. So walk me through just real quick how important it is, even if you're a digital brand, to have that sense of authenticity, because again, you pioneered that and everyone broke their necks like, what are they doing? And it's crazy.
Thanks. It's always so like crazy when, you know, I think about it, because at the time it wasn't like, I knew it was like really different, and I knew that I didn't really see anyone doing it. But for me, myself, like I studied abroad and I would like, you know, hang out with my friends and, you know, in the summer, and we would like, this is after college, or I studied abroad in college and after college traveled quite a bit with my friends. And we would always want like the best outfits and like take pictures and post it like on MySpace or Friendster, you know? And if you really think about the concept of travel and photos, it's like, it's actually not that revolutionary, because that's what something that you did with your parents. Like if you went to Disneyland or like your Grand Canyon trip when you were little, like your mom would take photos, they would print it, they would post it, right? Not as in put it up in a frame and it's in your living room. And yeah, so this concept of like sharing, it was just on a different platform, obviously on Instagram and on like all these influencers. But I think absolutely a brand, whether it's a digital native brand like Revolve, or, you know, if you have a brick and mortar, et cetera, I think more than ever, it's not a, you know, nice to have, it's a must have. You need to be able to connect with your consumer in a really authentic and in a really deep way. And you need to continue to evolve over time. And I think if you don't, you're almost dead in the water. There's so many different brands out there that are doing that work. And, you know, that's why it's also important to really make sure that if you are a brand founder, like, what's your story? What are you trying to tell people? For me, I kind of just got lucky, because because I was a Revolve customer. So I was just like, I'm in the age group. I love this website. This is what I would do. I would travel and I want to party and I want to look good doing it. You know, that was kind of just, I mean, as simple as that sounds.
Sign me up.
I mean, it sounds so simple, but that was kind of like the feeling that I wanted to evoke, because I'm the Revolve girl, you know, that's like the lifestyle I was obviously leading. Now I'm obviously a different person, but I still feel like I'm a Revolve girl in some capacity. Yeah. But for you, I mean, you are like the face of Tone It Up. I mean, you are doing the workouts, you're doing the content. And like, I feel like the more you share about your personal experiences, the more people are just drawn to you because you're just so real. And I think that's difficult for some brands that don't have, you know, you're the face and also could be the founder and you're really driving that brand, which is incredible. But I feel for the brands that don't have a face and don't feel like they need to have that like emotional connection. I think it's just, again, not a nice to have. It's a must have if you're trying to make it in business, like now and in the next, whatever, 20 years, like if you want to have a long lasting company, like I think it's like absolutely necessary.
I love that. What you just said is something that is very hard to explain when someone's like, well, what's branding? You know, and you're like, branding is emotion. It's how you live and how someone feels when they walk into your store or visits your website. Branding is exactly what that identity is and how you can actually go, how can I make that part of my identity? Because I resonate with that. And so what you put out there, then you attracted, it's really, really beautiful what you've done. I want to put this out there actually. So you've worked with the top influencers in the entire world, from the top influencers in the world, the Kardashians, to a fitness professional like me,
Come on.
And so I know that the word influencer over the years has now received a bad rep, especially from professional marketers, right? And so talk me through how hardworking these women are and how the word influencer doesn't even do justice to what these women actually do day to day to even earn their spot and to have that position as someone who is of influence.
I get it all the time. I mean, I've received it from, you know, investors when we were, you know, trying to go public of like, what makes an influencer? Why is this person an influencer? Like they're just taking a photo or whatever. And to me, like if you're still in that mindset, you're not going to be successful. You're never going to get it. You have to understand that like there's a reason why someone is called an influencer. They're influencing people, and that's incredibly powerful. And if you are a business owner or a marketer or a CMO or whatever your title is at this company, and you don't get that, again, you're kind of like dead in the water, because there's a reason why somebody's called an influencer. Even if they're influencing 2,000 people in their community, when I say community, their Instagram, that's still like, you know, a substantial amount of people. Now you keep going up that ladder of influence and you have somebody that has 450,000, 500,000, 12 million followers. Like that's crazy. That's like, you know, more than a TV show can get. I mean, the only other one would be like the Super Bowl, which I don't even know what the viewership is on that. But I know there's a ton of influencers that are getting on their IG stories, like 30,000 views for one card. That's like unheard of. That's like a Netflix show. That's like an HBO show. So if you don't think about it like that, you shouldn't call yourself a marketer first and foremost, because then you just don't even understand the way things are marketed today. And then when people tell me like, oh, all they do is take photos, I just, at that point, it's more of an education and just letting them know like, oh, you know, of course, a photo, yes, that's like one part of their job, but they're also editors, they're stylists, they're copywriters, they're photographers, they're creative directors. I mean, there's so many things, because that photo to create takes a lot of time and effort to just post. And then beyond that, you know, a lot of influencers, as you know, you're doing YouTube videos, you're doing, you know, now TikTok. I mean, there's just so many different platforms. And so a lot of people don't know. And I think obviously you have to take a deep inhale and just exhale and just sit down with them and educate them. And again, if they're still don't understand that, I would not call them a marketer. I just don't. And I have come across those people that never understood why Revolve worked with these types of influencers. It's kind of like, again, if you're not like on this like kind of influencer bandwagon, you might be like not marketing the most efficient and effective way possible.
So when we've spoken before, and a lot of times you walk into a boardroom or a huge meeting room, or you're in New York City and you're the only female in the room. And
yes,
I have been the only female in the room, and I've been scared, and I've oh my goodness, I was talking to my sister-in-law about this last week. It's almost like you, like defeminized yourself a little bit. Like I pulled my hair back and I decided to wear a high neck shirt and, you know, you kind of change yourself a little bit because you think that that's what you need to do. But I feel like you're always you. And I love this picture. I think it's at like NASDAQ and it's like you and a bunch of dudes. And it's like, there she is.
Yeah, and I'm like wearing a pink freaking suit. Yeah.
But that's what's so, it's like, wait a second. Again, just like you being this mom and such a boss, like how do you walk for anyone that's listening, that's like, how do I do this? And how do I explain a bunch of, you know, to a bunch of marketers that this is marketing and this is what is going to make the business successful. Walk me through just the feeling that you have when you walk into a room with a lot of men in suits maybe and rises confidence and what runs through your mind. And maybe you weren't always like that. Like maybe I'm asking for a friend like myself right now.
I know, yeah. Like asking for a friend. No, I love this question. And I wasn't like this, of course, quite the opposite, to be honest. I was really almost self-conscious a lot of times when I was in these types of settings, because, you know, I'm not so young, but you know, I'm like younger and like, you know, people might, you know, think I'm just like this person, like, why did I get this job and all this other stuff? And, you know, some of these guys are super duper smart, right? And then I realized after some time where it's like, and because I felt intimidated also, like, man, like they're speaking another language, or I have to ask like Mike and Michael about something who are CEOs, or like it's taking me a little bit more time to process certain things. But what I really learned, and this is not just in business, but really in life, is like, it's so important to focus on what you know and what you have. And for a long time, I was like, oh, I don't know how to do spreadsheets, or I'm not good at this and I'm not good at that. But I'm really good at something. And obviously, I have results in a lot of ways to prove that. And so after a while, when I was in those rooms, I was one, okay, to say, you know what, can you guys slow down for me a little bit? I don't understand. Because if someone, you know, if I don't speak up and say, I don't understand, or I need help, like, I don't have to pretend that I don't know something, because I'm really knowledgeable at something else. And I realized, like, the first day when I went on, so before you actually ring the bell and, you know, go public, you go on what's called like the road. That's what they like call it in the industry. And you go for 2 weeks, and it's like so difficult. You're going back to back to, you know, you're pitching the business to a ton of investors. And then you get on a plane and you go to like 8 or 9 different cities in, you know, in 10 days. And you're just pitching, like you're doing like 10 to 12 meetings back to back. And it's grueling. It's like the Super Bowl. I always say that. It's like I got to go to the Super Bowl. I got a ring and I was like the quarterback.
I was talking.
Totally.
I'm kidding.
No, you were.
I was like, so, of course, like start to feel like that nervousness again. I was like, man, like, am I cut out to do this? Like all these guys went to Harvard. Like, oh my God, they're going to ask me all these things. Like I'm so screwed. And then after the first meeting, Katrina, literally one of the guys asked me, like, can you explain what an influencer is? And after that question, I was like, this is in the bag. Because again, I went to that point of like, oh wow, this is just, they don't know something either. So this is like, let me educate them on something that is this is what I do. This is what I live and breathe. This is my day to day. Like I can explain to parents, I can explain to an investor, I can explain to whatever, because this is what I do. And so my best advice is that when you walk into a room where you feel really nervous, one, there's a reason why you're walking into that room. Like there is a reason. You were asked for a meeting because someone thought that you were going to be really good in that meeting. So like, yeah. Focus on what you know how to do really well. Focus on what you've harnessed throughout the years and really worked on, versus like, you know, this person is super smart and I'm not, or this guy is, you know, is a guy and I'm a girl. And once I kind of got over that, it's been pretty, like, again, easy for me to say like, hey, actually, like, I'm sorry, I don't know what that means. Like I didn't go to Harvard Business School. So like, yeah. Can you explain that? And I have no ego about it. And then they in turn, when they start asking me like, what's, you know, an influencer, or how do you pick, you know, just the whole, like, why do you go on trips? Why is Instagram still important? Like all these things. It's like, oh, cool. Like we're learning from each other. And once I changed my outlook on how to view things versus me feeling intimidated, it's like, whoa, this is an opportunity for me to learn. And this is an opportunity for me to focus on like what I've worked on for the last like all my life, basically.
My dad always says, you are the best at what you do. And everyone is a leader in a way, and everyone has this creative brilliance that is just theirs. And your creative brilliance is to be able to make everyone feel inspired and feel welcome. You make everyone feel welcome. It's such an incredible quality. And I think that that's part of why everyone even wanted to initially start working with Revolve, is because you have this revolving door. It's like you can come in and you're welcome, and it's just that you can be you, and it's so beautiful. And so I agree. And back to even my dad, I would get really, really scared, and I would always call him on my way to our office. And there's a library where you can pull over and park, and I would always park there right before I would pull up, and anyone from Toned Up would listen and be like, oh my gosh, you did that. But before I would address the whole company, which at some points is like 20, 30 or sometimes 40 people, I was like, how am I going to do this? And sometimes it was a lot of our employees, or maybe it was a boardroom and I wasn't sure how I needed to show up. I'm going to call my dad, and he would always say what you just said. It's like, you are there to teach what you know. You are the best at what you do. And just do that. And anything that you don't know, have, like what you said too, don't have an ego. And the best leaders have so much humility, and there's no ego. And if you're willing to learn, then you know that for next time. And that's how you even evolve as a leader. So you've done a really great job.
I mean, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't always like that. When I was younger, I felt like I had to know everything, but it's like, what? That's impossible. No one knows everything. And it's so, again, once I threw out that idea or that ego, I was able to just learn and thrive so much more. And I always I try to instill that in my team of like, ask for help. It's okay if you don't understand. Like, we're all like taking things in so differently. We all communicate things so differently. So don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yeah, that's so good, even for being a mom. Like, don't be afraid to ask questions, and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Totally. Yes, I know, because like the whole like supermom thing, I mean, we'll go down a rabbit hole about that, but I'm like, I don't know what that even means, because I'm just like, everyone's just trying.
You know what? I'll make sure to link to our Revolve You Cool Mom panel that we did, because
I would love that. It was like, people loved it.
Yeah. The advice in that, if anyone wants to hear more about, balancing mom life and work, and there actually, we talked about how there's no such thing as word balance. I'll make sure to link to that so you can check that out too, because that was, I think, an hour from the most amazing group. And you, again,
it was like, this is the other thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, it always like warms my heart. And I'm never, you know, it's like, hey, would you want to do it? And everyone's like, yes. And it's like, and literally the most successful, like amazing. Everyone has a business. That's the other thing. If you guys want to listen to it, is all the women on the panel started their own business, which is, you know, and some of them started after being a mom, which is also, you know, all super cool. But anyway, yes, link it out. And I hope you guys watch it.
I'll tell you why everyone says yes to you. It's because your answer is always yes, or even if it's no, like you said, as you become a mom, you learn to say no, but your answer is yes, or let's figure it out. And I think when you have that openness, then everyone feels really open with you. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
I have a couple more things that I definitely want to touch on. So you just said, the cool mom panel that we did, there was a lot of women that started their own business. You started your own business. And during the first recession, that went down. And I feel like a lot of people are experiencing that right now. And looking at you, no one would ever even know that or think that that could have happened to someone as brilliant and amazing, that's successful as you. So that first time, if someone is going through that right now, how did you pull yourself out of that? I know your story, obviously, with Lovers and Friends and all that, but sometimes people don't know that there's light, and they're going to be coming out on the other side of it.
There's always a light, but you have to kind of like pick up your head and look for it. You won't see the light when you're looking down. But you know, I had my own clothing brand in 2007. And as Katrina said, when the recession hit, late 2008, beginning of 2009, I just really ran out of cash. And at that point, you know, I didn't want to ask like my parents or anybody else because they had already, you know, invested. I really just thought that it was just over for me. Like I was like super, you know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was like super sad. It was devastating. I felt like a failure and I didn't really know what to do because also there were like no jobs. Like it was just really hard. But as one door closes, another one opens per se. And at the time, Michael Mente, who's the owner of Revolve or one of the owners and the co-CEO, I'd met him a couple of times before and he was like, hey, I'm really sorry that you can't deliver to Revolve because Revolve ultimately became my biggest customer. And that's how I met him and a few other, the buyers and stuff. And he was like, that sucks like that your business closed. And, you know, you want to do another brand together. And that's how Lovers and Friends was born. But at that time we already had three brands. So Lovers and Friends, Tula Rosa and NBD. And they acquired it because they really wanted us to start kind of like their, you know, quote unquote, to make it easy, like private label part of the business. Yeah. And so that's kind of what happened. And I know that it's really tough out there, but you have to make yourself resourceful. You know, like I think now more than ever, you have access via podcast, like learn as much as possible. What does it mean to, you know, start a business? What does it mean to make your dreams come into fruition? What do those, you know, steps look like? I mean, if you wanted to listen to Michelle Obama or Katrina or Oprah, like you have access to these people in the sense of like, there's content out there. There's to listen. So I think it's really important to make time to be resourceful, learn and just see what's out there. And, you know, don't be afraid to take that leap because, you know, it might seem really hard right now, but, you know, it really does start with yourself in terms of making sure that those opportunities eventually come to you.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot to be said that you had such a great relationship with your buyer that ended up being your partner.
Yes.
That ended up buying that business. And so I think if you had just had your brand and not took it for granted, but just wasn't a relationships person, then this wouldn't have happened. And so relationships in business, and like I said, you treat everyone like family. And so I can only imagine you 10 years ago or more now, the way
more
you
energy.
Were. No. Yeah. Well, that. But I'm positive that you were treating Revolve and everyone there like they were family because they were buying from your firstborn, your first brand. And so the fact that it says a lot about you as the person that you were as a founder, that when you were in a position where you were like, what do I do next? The relationship that you had with your number one buyer was what gave you that opportunity too.
Again, it sounds so cheesy, but I do believe in it. Like that good energy out there, start with yourself, make sure that you are good because I think people feel that and know that and everything kind of just like falls into place.
Yeah. And people want to work with really good people and it could be, like you said, the lotto ticket that could be an amazing thing.
Agreed.
Okay. I feel like we could talk for hours and I love you.
I know.
But I know that both of us have to get back to mommying and business with everything. So how, this is something that you can take as much time as you need to. How do you live beautifully? What does live beautifully mean to you?
What live beautifully means to me, I mean, I can't stress enough about like being like taking care of yourself and making time for yourself and, you know, and that could be meditating, that could be reading, that could be watching TV, like whatever it is that you're enjoying. And I want to make sure that I don't forget to do that even with Dylan and having a family and having a really demanding career, because I think I've done a pretty poor job doing that in times past, even though I've had the best time. Like I feel like, oh man, now I have to like refuel and make sure that I have that energy and that, you know, in me to like continue to be a good person and be a good mom, be, you know, successful at my job and deliver results. It's also very, you know, it's a very, challenging job in that sense that a lot is expected of me. But I take on that responsibility so fully. Live beautifully also, you know, besides from just taking care of myself, is like really spending time with the people that I really, 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 really love. And, you know, that's why I love quarantine for that. Because I haven't been home like this in like 10 years, like consecutively, like ever. I mean, in so long that like I'm seeing my parents and my sisters and, you know, being with Dylan, like way more than ever. So I love that. And then the last thing is like, you know, sharing those experiences with the people I love by traveling. I feel like you know, that's kind of like my, what I miss the most of anything, even though I just said that I traveled so much. Yeah. I still love it so much. And, I love like discovering new places and, you know, even going back to places that I love, like Paris. Mm-hmm. And just being with people and enjoying like really good food and really good wine. It's kind of like what it means to me right now. I'm sure it'll change in like 5 years, yeah. But that's what it means to me now, is taking care of myself, being with the people that I love, and then sharing incredible experiences with them through travel.
That's so good. And traveling is what inspired your entire career and everything yes. you've done. So we have to yeah. get out there.
I know.
For anyone, like what's coming up, anything next, anything that you want everyone to know, where can everyone find you?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I mean, nothing crazy is happening. I'm just working on a ton of projects, of course, always for work. I'm always trying to figure out how to push the brand forward to make sure we're evolving. I never want to feel, and I've never felt like we're just nailing it and I'm comfortable. It's kind of like a gift and a curse, because I'm always just like, you know, making sure that we're thinking ahead, but trying to enjoy the present, which is really, really challenging. And then I just really want to like travel. I can't wait. I don't know if like Coachella or anything is happening next year. So that's been a huge challenge for a brand that is constantly traveling and partying to try to plan events. So that's really been challenging. But that's it. Nothing really that exciting is happening in my life. I'm just like enjoying spending time with my family and just knowing that, you know, this time is not going to happen again. You know, like maybe
it better not.
I know it better not. But like, you know, this like
totally
just like stay put, you know, like yeah. you're forced to. Yeah, just trying to make the best out of it. And that's it, I think.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh my gosh,
so
I'm going to
pause
this. Oh my God, that was so fun. Are you kidding me? You
thank
killed
you.
It. That was so good. I had so thank much you. Fun. You asked some super amazing questions, and I'm really, again,
thank you so much for tuning in to Live Beautifully today. I hope you loved this episode and that you feel empowered, connected, and of course, inspired to live beautifully. Make sure you subscribe so you're the first to know when a new episode comes out. I love seeing your reviews and hearing how this podcast is making a positive impact on your life. So if you haven't yet, I'd love for you to leave a review. I read everything from you and it means the absolute world to me. I'll be sharing your reviews and stories on Instagram at Katrina Scott. Also for Ask Me Anything episodes, literally anything, text me on my cell at 213-205-3604. 213-205-3604 with anything you'd like to talk about. Title your text AMA for Ask Me Anything so I can look out for your message. Thanks again for tuning in and sharing this with your girlfriends. I cannot wait to chat soon. Let's live beautifully together.